This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on today's show, using museums to tackle today's social issues. But first, Ohio voters will decide the fate of Issue 2 next month. Supporters say it's a pushback against high drug company prices. Opponents say it might actually lead to higher drug prices for a lot of Ohioans. Joining us to analyze Issue 2 are Ohio Public Radio and Television State House News Bureau Chief Karen Kassler and WVXU politics reporter Howard Wilkinson. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Karen, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, great to be with you guys.
And Howard, good to see you.
Thank you.
So, Karen, start us off by explaining what Issue 2 is. What would this do if it were to pass?
Well, this is an initiative that would require that the state pay no more for drugs that it buys for Medicaid, for prisons, for various programs that the state administers. It would pay no more for those programs than the Federal Department of Veterans Administration does. Now, the proponents of Issue 2 have said that amounts to about a 20% discount. They claim it will save the state about $400 million. Then there's the other side, the anti-Issue 2 side. They say that there's no evidence that this will save money, that it's very confusing. Using, that there's nothing in this particular initiative that will actually guarantee that the state will save any money at all. And so that's really what it comes down to, is the confusion over how much the state pays for drugs right now, how much the state could potentially save, and then, of course, you've got all the lawsuits that could happen and all the questions about what exactly is affected by Issue 2 should it actually pass.
And Karen, this is just what state agencies pay, right? This is not necessarily going to affect individual private policies.
No, this there's about 7 million Ohioans who will not be affected by this, you know, directly at all.
Yeah.
Right. And the pro-Issue 2 side will say, yes, those people are directly affected because they are taxpayers. They pay money that is used by the state to buy drugs in these programs. But will it affect your prices when you go to the pharmacy if you are under private insurance? No, it won't. Now, the Issue 2 side also claims that there's going to be kind of a domino effect, a ripple effect, so to speak, that if the state is paying less, then people will pay less, that overall this will trickle down in a way. But, you know, the anti-Issue 2 side says there's no evidence that that will be the case. In fact, they're saying exactly the opposite, that this could restrict access to drugs, it could drive prices higher. And it should be said here, though, that the importance of the drug companies themselves in this argument. The drug companies themselves have been backing the anti-Issue 2 side. They're the ones that are putting out this message saying it's going to restrict access to drugs. It's going to drive prices up. The pro-Issue 2 people have been saying, hey, the drug companies are against us. We must be doing something right, or the drug companies wouldn't be spending all this money to try to fight this issue.
Well, The VA, number one, really doesn't have to tell state of Ohio what it does pay for prescription.
Right, because they negotiate
drugs.
Those prices in private.
Yeah, they do.
It's a private deal they make.
So, you know, it makes you kind of wonder, okay, how is this going to work if we don't know what the VA prices are?
And that's a real issue, of course. I think everybody has it when they start dealing with the medical community in general, the transparency. It's hard to tell exactly what you're paying and what the insurance company is paying, or what, in this case, what the state would be paying. And so to not have a real way to compare prices directly, mm-hmm. you know, even the state, when it did an analysis of Issue 2, which the state is required to do an analysis of all ballot issues for whatever they might affect in terms of the financial operations of the state. The state's fiscal analysis of Issue 2 said it could save money, it might save money, it might even definitely save money. We just have no idea how much it would save, and we have no idea how soon those savings would result because of the potential litigation and other real serious concerns. There was also in that analysis some questions about whether the state would save any money on Medicaid drugs. Medicaid's the largest program in the state, and this analysis said that the state would be unlikely to save any money on Medicaid drugs, which to me is pretty big. That's a potential savings that the state itself says it will not realize through this issue.
And this wouldn't have any impact on Medicare because that's a federal program.
Yeah, exactly.
The one thing that, and this may sound sort of like a cynical argument, but if I'm Mr. Big Pharmaceutical Company and they tell me that I have to pay whatever the VA pays for 4 million Ohioans, I might be tempted to start raising the prices on those other 7 million Ohioans.
And that's exactly what the anti-issue two side has been saying, that, right. that those they're not just, you know, there's going to be some sort of an impact. And that is the idea of this ripple effect. You know, the pro-issue two side has been saying the ripple effect will lower prices across the economy. The other side says, no, 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 it's going to raise prices across the economy. And, you know, there's one other thing here. You mentioned Medicare, which, of course, covers people over 60-65. But there's another question about whether this would affect people who are retired, who are in the state's pension systems, because they get health care through the state retirement systems. Mm-hmm. Will it affect them? There's a real confusion about whether it will. The issue two pro side, the yes side, says yes, it will affect those people. It will lower their prices. The anti-issue two side says no, it won't. And so that will be something that will certainly be one of the things that could be litigated if issue two does pass.
Well, you keep bringing up litigation, Karen. Now, what is the deal in issue two that Ohio would pay for issue two supporters' legal fees?
Well, there is, and I've asked both sides this. I've moderated two debates now on this, two discussions on this with the pro and anti issue two sides, and there are a lot of questions about that. There is nothing in the initiative and the language that voters will be asked to vote on that specifically sets a limit. I believe the language is reasonable, and I think the intention was to try to level the playing field, because if issue two passes, certainly the drug companies, which have very deep pockets, would take this to court. And the idea is that if the pro-issue two side didn't have any money, how in the world would they fight the drug companies if issue two passes? So I think that was part of the reason why it was put in there. But yeah, there's no limits in there. There's no limits on if the drug companies file lawsuits, if other entities file lawsuits. There really is potentially no limit, at least written down, for how much the state would be on the hook to defend issue two in court if it passes. And you know, one other thing I want to add, this issue is available. If you go to ohio.gov, which is the state's official website, you go down to the Secretary of State's tab, and then you go into ballot issues, legislation and ballot issues, and you can find it right there. You can read it for yourself. That may take some of the confusion out of it, because certainly the ad campaign has been very confusing on both sides.
Yeah, I would urge everybody to go look at that on the Secretary of State's website, because it's pretty clear. And you will have a better understanding of it than you will, certainly, after being inundated for weeks and weeks by these 30-second TV commercials.
So who brought issue to Ohio?
Well, it was a group, a California group, the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, which is headed by Michael Weinstein, who is the CEO of that company, and it's a nonprofit. It started out in California. In fact, in California last year, that group tried to put a ballot issue on, and actually was on the ballot last year, and it failed. And so this is the second time it's tried this particular type of issue, and you know, obviously picking California as its home state and Ohio, because Ohio is such a key state in really any sort of a political landscape. I think that's one of the reasons why Ohio was specifically selected. But this is the group that is involved in this. The no on issue two side has pointed out that this is a company that does sell drugs. And it does, but it's quite different than the pharmaceutical companies, the ones who have admitted that they're involved in the no on issue two side, and certainly the ones that people suspect are involved in the no on issue two side. The issue two people, the no on issue two side, they do not have to disclose who their donors are. They've set up a special legal entity that shields them from disclosing exactly which companies are giving them money.
But there's so much money involved. I mean, it's pretty clear where the money is coming from.
Yeah. And Karen, when this was rejected in California, do we know how close the vote was in that case?
It was pretty overwhelming in terms of a rejection of it. And, you know, I think that's one thing to remember when it comes to ballot issues anywhere, and especially in Ohio. I mean, that's you know, my expertise. I've been a reporter in Ohio my entire career, so that's all I can speak to, I guess. But, you know, when voters are confused, when voters don't understand, when voters are suspicious, when voters just don't like an issue, the tendency is either to not vote on that issue or to vote no. And so the yes on issue two people have always had a huge hurdle to get over to try to get people to that yes. And I think that's been part of their campaign, is to bring up how frustrated people are with the drug companies, with the costs that they're paying on their own prescriptions. There was a whole ad campaign about EpiPens. And remember when EpiPens went from, you know, $150 to $600. Meanwhile, the CEO was making a boatload of money. You know, that confusion there and that frustration and that anger, I think they were trying to capitalize on that. But it must be said that issue two would have nothing to do with the cost of EpiPens if you're not getting them through a state program. So that's an important thing to point out.
Yeah, the one thing that runs through as true throughout my career in covering politics is exactly what Karen said. If it's not understood by the voters, if there's any question in their minds and they look at it and they will either say, I'm not going to vote on this, or I'm voting no. That is without exception the case. And that's, you know, I have a feeling that we may be heading in that direction, but it's hard to say. There's been no real polling out there.
Right. And I think turnout here is going to be key, because this is an off-year election. You have some mayoral races like in Cincinnati and Dayton and some other places. Right. But for the most part, you've got no statewide candidates. You've got a fairly non-controversial issue one, the crime victims amendment issue, which you can also find on the state Secretary of State's website. But, you know, other than that, I think turnout is not going to be that large. And so, you know, if issue two is to pass, they've got to get their people to go out there and vote for it. And that could be a really big hurdle.
Yeah. I mean, like you say, we have a mayoral race and a city council race in Cincinnati. And generally speaking, those things attract anywhere from 30 to 4 to the low 40s in terms of turnout. That's not much.
We will continue our conversation about issue two, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, joining us with analysis of Ohio's Issue 2, Ohio Public Radio and Television Statehouse News Bureau Chief Karen Kassler, and WVXU politics reporter Howard Wilkinson. You can join us at 513-419-7100. Howard, you were starting to talk about how much money has gone into the campaigning over issue two, and how much has gone in? I mean, how big has this been?
Well, I don't think we know entirely at this point. I know that, you know, I've seen the number $3.7 million from this AIDS Healthcare Foundation, which is Michael Weinstein. And on the other side, I mean, you've got something like almost $16 million that were raised in the first half of this year on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it's
the money
be a
is,
lot
is very
of money,
and the money is very lopsided. Absolutely, I mean,
very
when you start talking about getting the drug companies involved and that whole thing, you know, then obviously there's going to be a lopsided, and that's the way it was in California as well.
And this is why Michael Weinstein says that he's like David versus Goliath, because he's up against these huge—
He's taking on big pharma is what he's saying. Yeah,
big pharmaceutical companies who can spend unlimited amounts of money, et cetera, et cetera.
We've got a couple of the ads from both sides. Let's play that first one.
It's a scandal. Manufacturers of opioids sold highly addictive drugs to patients who didn't need them. The result? Millions of Ohioans hooked on prescription pain pills. Over 85% of all accidental drug overdoses caused by opioids. Families destroyed. Jobs lost. Children born addicted. Drug companies. Deceptive and corrupt practices. False advertising. The same companies lying about the Drug Price Relief Act. Vote yes on the Drug Price Relief Act, because corporate greed is bad medicine.
So, Howard, a pro ad for this.
Yeah, and it's, you know, talking about something that everybody in Ohio considers a very serious problem, the opioid crisis. And pharmaceutical companies and pharmaceutical distributors have been sued by not only the state of Ohio, but by cities and they're looked upon by many people as the bad guys, but they may not necessarily be the bad guys in this situation. This may be an apples and oranges. And it's, you know, it's a ploy to tie them to something that's pretty horrible and that people have very strong feelings about, and tie this issue to it. And, you can judge for yourself.
Okay, Karen?
Yeah, absolutely. And it should be said, and this is on both sides, that PolitiFact has actually checked into an ad for Issue 2 and an ad against Issue 2 and has rated them both mostly false.
Yeah.
So that really does.
Yeah, they both do this,
And as a matter of fact, we have one. We have another one here. This is the anti-side. So go ahead and play this, Rick.
Ohio's medical care providers are united against the ballot issue on prescription drugs. The Ohio Pharmacists Association says Issue 2 could actually result in major price increases for millions of Ohioans. The Ohio Nurses Association says Issue 2 could restrict access to medication. And the Ohio State Medical Association, representing over 10,000 doctors, calls Issue 2 bad policy. Get the facts for yourself. Then vote no on Issue 2.
Well, I mean, look at all the, you know, and it is true that, you know, these groups are lined up against this, along with the Ohio Hospital Association, the Ohio Children's Hospital Association, Ohio Chamber of Commerce, including the Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber, and a lot of the veterans organizations, American Legion and Ohio National Guard Association, the VFW, who are probably concerned about it because of what effect it might have on the price that their people pay for medication through the VA.
513-419-7100, if you'd like to join the conversation. Let's talk to Fred first. Hi, Fred.
Yes, hi.
Go right ahead.
Hi. I have a two-part question. One is, the state of Ohio, can they negotiate prices with pharmaceuticals now, with or without Issue 2? And secondly, why the VA? Why is that the benchmark? My understanding is the VA is one of the few, maybe the only, federal agency that is permitted by Congress to negotiate for lower drug prices, which is probably why they're chosen. Maybe you could address that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for the question. Yeah,
I think that's exactly right. The whole idea of the Veterans Administration gets the opportunity to negotiate like that, I think that's one reason why it was chosen. But as we've been told by the no on Issue 2 side, the state does negotiate prices for drugs, and that those negotiated discounts and that sort of thing would go away if Issue 2 does pass. So that's been part of their argument, saying you as a person who is not involved in the negotiations, you have no idea what the negotiation and the negotiated prices are, and those could disappear if Issue 2 does pass.
Absolutely.
Let's talk to Charles now. Hi, Charles.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
It's kind of a multi-part. The first is more of a comment, and that's the fact that this bill doesn't show any charts, meaning neither case defends itself, which is sort of a pox in both their houses. The second issue to me is the fact that you have organizations, not so much the hospitals, but you got an organization locally, is Caracol, which is an HIV recovery community opposing this bill. Now, Mr. Weinstein's group is a very large one who makes quite a bit of profit for his organization, albeit it's a nonprofit. But why is Caracol opposing this? And that leads me to my third part. One-third of that bill has to do with the Attorney General and structure and the defense of the proponents. There is a thing sometimes when you sue this, and the Attorney General has to come in, the losing group has to pay the fine. Now, for the pharmaceutical companies, I'm sure they have it in their pockets. But for some reason or not, a group like Caracol goes in, it could bankrupt them. And it's also kind of an inhibition of free speech, and that's basically my three observations on that bill.
I think the caller is right there with the whole idea of putting the costs into the ballot language so that there isn't this David and Goliath thing in the courtroom if indeed Issue 2 does pass, because the state would have to defend Issue 2. If indeed voters do approve it, it would become state law and the state would have to defend it. And so I think that's part of that. But it is a big part of the ballot language, which I just tweeted out a link to where you can find that ballot language on the Secretary of State's website, and I encourage people to read it.
And he's saying, too, if Issue 2 passes, then Ohio's Attorney General would have to defend it in any of the cases that come up,
absolutely,
any challenges to it that come up.
Yeah, and that's the case with any state law, whether it's passed by the legislature, whether voters approve it. If indeed it becomes law, then the attorney general is obligated as the state's top attorney to defend it in court.
You know, the question that comes into my mind, Karen, is why deal with this through the ballot process instead of the legislative process?
I think that's been an issue that's come up quite often when these ballot questions do present themselves. I mean, how many times did we vote on casinos? And that was exactly the same kind of thing that people said about casinos. Why are we doing this through the ballot as opposed to should the legislature do it? And that was a big question. And in the end, voters did decide on casinos after four campaigns, essentially. And so, yeah, there are some groups, though, that say that they're frustrated that the legislative process is not working. They want to try it their way. And, I mean, we're seeing it with congressional redistricting. We're seeing it we saw it with medical marijuana. They tried to bring it to the ballot. And there was an effort to try to get another ballot issue going until the legislature went ahead and passed a medical marijuana program. But there's some frustration on the sides of people who say drug prices are out of control. They're very frustrated. And they want to do something about it.
Yeah, the legislature, you know, will often not initiate these things, but if they get pushed into it by ballot initiatives and that sort of thing, then maybe they do act.
513-419-7100. And Peggy joins us now. Hi, Peggy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, the people who are in favor of Issue 2, like the Michael Weinstein Group, they must think that there are some pretty, you know, certain savings associated with this in terms of, you know, what the state will be paying for prescription drugs. And yet the way you describe it, it sounds very uncertain that you know, the VA doesn't have to say how much they pay for drugs and they negotiate that privately. So I guess I'm just wondering from the people, from the Michael Weinstein perspective, how do they feel so certain about all of these savings?
They've done studies, but everybody's done studies at this point. Yeah. They've done studies where they've claimed $400 million would be the annual savings. And they even got state lawmaker Michael Skindal, who's a senator from Lakewood, a Democratic senator from Lakewood near Cleveland, to sponsor a bill that would say, if indeed the state does save $400 million if Issue 2 passes, then that money cannot be used for certain programs and to try to, you know, direct where those savings would go, which is interesting because, I mean, it's not even, you know, it hasn't even been voted on yet.
This is monopoly money we're playing.
Exactly. But, yeah, I mean, they've calculated this $400 million based on studies and some other things that they've looked at. And now the state ended up saying that, yes, there is likely to be some savings from Issue 2. But the question was how much. The state couldn't determine when those savings would happen. The state couldn't determine. And there were certain programs like Medicaid where the state said it would be unlikely that there would be any savings in that program. So, you know, it's a hard number to grasp, but these studies are out there.
Yeah, the studies are out there and there's really no definitive answer. I mean, it really is not.
Yeah, Karen, on some of the past ballot initiatives, they've been attempts to become part of Ohio's Constitution, to modify the Constitution. What's the case with this one? Is this actually going to become part of Ohio's Constitution, or is it separate?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, this is not a constitutional amendment. Issue 1, which is the Crime Victims Amendment, that is obviously an amendment, but Issue 2 is not. And so there is a difference because an amendment's a lot harder to change. If you put an amendment to the Constitution, it's very difficult to go back in and tinker with it. You folks might remember the casino issue a couple years ago. That was an amendment. And then we had to have another vote to move the casino from downtown Columbus to the west side of Columbus. So it's hard to make those changes without going back to the ballot. So this would be a statute. This would be law. This would not be an amendment.
Mm-hmm. Howard, any thoughts?
No, I mean, that's absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, this is not... There are two ways of going at it, to try to get a ballot initiative for legislation or try to get a state constitutional amendment. And as Karen says, once it's in the Constitution, it's there until it is voted out by another ballot issue.
Mm-hmm. 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. So, Karen, it's hard to have a sense of where this is going, as you were noting, that there hasn't really been any super reliable polling that's been done on this.
No.
Yeah, yesterday, what I think is interesting in the last two or three days here, well, I guess it started last week, and then yesterday was another call. These conference calls with the yes on issue two side, they've been really vocal in trying to get their point of view out to reporters, feeling like they're not making their case through the ads that we're seeing. I mean, right now, $24 million was spent on ads. I think that one number was from last month. So by the time we get to the election next month, that number is going to be a lot bigger. But you've got the yes on issue two people who are out there trying to, like I said, make their case to reporters. They've bought TV time to put a documentary on in Ohio's six major TV markets to try to once again make their case to people. The question is, I'm just wondering, an hour of a TV documentary about issue two, I don't know if that's something that most people would want to tune in for, though, you know, it could be interesting, but you have to make sure that you're watching it with a very careful eye.
Well, here's my question. Could it just confuse things even more if you try to do that?
Of course. Sure. And you know, I mean, this, you know, it's saying something when you consider some of the ballot issues that we've experienced in terms of casinos, redistricting, medical marijuana, some of these things that have come out in the last, you know, just 10, 15 years. This is considered to be one of the most confusing ones that we've seen. And we've had a lot of complicated ones, but yet this one is really kind of holding up a new standard.
Right. Yes. You know, we've raised the bar on confusion. Yes.
Let's talk to David. Hi, David. Hi, David. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I've concerned myself about the amount of money that Big Pharma is putting into this campaign. And I would suggest if anybody really wants to see the underlying issues, that look at the amount of money that they are devoting. $16 million is a huge amount of money against the proponents who have a little more than $3 million. I think that Big Pharma is the new big tobacco these days, and you see that in the issue related to opioids, and it's the extent to which Big Pharma owns our government is shown with Trump's recent nominee for the drug enforcement, a guy that carried through a law to protect Big Pharma.
Hey, David, let's just stick with issue two. Let's stick to issue two. I appreciate what you're saying, but let's stick with issue two. And I think he has a good point about the money trail in this, the amount of money that's being spent.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the reason why it's on the ballot right now, and the frustration that, you know, the proponents of issue two, the people who want you to vote yes, are really looking at exactly that and saying, look how, I mean, this documentary or this 60 Minutes show, look at what this is. But issue two would do nothing to specifically deal with some of those things that were brought up in the 60 Minutes program, in what you pay necessarily at the pharmacy. I mean, that's the anti-issue two side that says that it's not going to fix some of these things.
And you can look at the money that's being spent by the pharmaceutical companies and the others, that the status quo is beneficial to them. So they're going to spend a whole lot of money to try to preserve it.
So, Karen, what should we look for next? A lot more advertising on this?
Oh, yeah, come on. You haven't seen nearly enough ads, have you?
Right.
You know,
no.
But I think it's interesting to watch when you see the pro ad and then the anti ad, you know, in the same break, which is not supposed to happen. But unfortunately, the ads are just coming over and over. And,
Karen,
do
you think that, I mean, you know, obviously you're right. I mean, we're just going to keep seeing these over and over and over again until Election Day. But
or we're more confused than ever.
Well, you get to a point of diminishing returns.
Yes, I think that's true.
Where people just go numb, and because they've heard the same message over and over and over and over again, and you're not really converting anybody.
You're not
changing any minds.
And you know, people are, their mailboxes are getting flooded.
Right.
There's ads on the internet as well as on TV. And, you know, I think that's truly going to be a situation where people just, especially if you're already confused, you feel way behind, and then you keep seeing these ads, it's just overload.
Now, I believe Bernie Sanders came out in favor of issue two, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Have any other politicians?
And so Dennis Kucinich, the former congressman.
Okay.
Yep.
Who else?
And the candidates for mayor in Cincinnati are for it.
Okay. What about the anti-side? Have we had any politicians come out on that side?
There hasn't been the anti side has been mostly the big organizations, obviously the pharmaceutical companies, but you know, again, they're behind this wall of this this entity that protects their identity, so to speak. But there's also the major medical major medical organizations and nursing organizations and pharmacist organizations, and they've been the ones that have been really speaking out and being out in front of this. And three former Medicaid directors and some other groups. There's a lot of firepower behind the anti-issue two side.
Give us that website you were talking about earlier where people can look at this for themselves. What was that site?
If you go to ohio.gov, and you go to the Secretary of State's page, which is down the screen there, and you go to legislation and ballot issues on that page, and go to ballot board. You'll see the arguments for and against both issue one and issue two.
Karen and Howard, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you.
Ohio Public Radio and Television State House News Bureau Chief Karen Kassler and WVXU politics reporter Howard Wilkinson. Coming up, we'll hear how the work of museums allows us to tackle today's social issues. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.